And now let's take a look at some international news events coming up this week. And for that, we're joined by Alexander Griffiths from the newsroom at the BBC in London. So, Alex, the presidents of Russia, Iran, and Turkey will meet for talks in Ankara, and Syria is expected to be high on the agenda. Tell us, why is this important?
That's right, Lauren. Russia, Turkey, and Iran are all deeply involved in the war in Syria. They've sponsored a series of peace talks up to this point in the Kazakh capital, Astana. But this round of talks in Ankara will not involve the rebel groups and is likely to involve issues outside the Syrian civil war as well. In fact, tomorrow, Tuesday, we'll see President Putin and President Erdogan meet for a bilateral talk. According to some agency reports, those presidents are expected to discuss the lifting of visa requirements and deepening economic and military cooperation, as well as Syria. Something notable there, military cooperation. It's worth remembering that Turkey is a member of NATO, so it's highly unorthodox for a NATO member to discuss that level of cooperation with Russia. Putin is obviously facing a unified response globally from many countries who've expelled Russian diplomats. That was following the poisoning by nerve agent of Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia here in the English town of Salisbury. Now, this is all part of a long simmering tension between Turkey and its Western allies. So here in Europe, there's been criticism of Mr. Erdogan's slide away from democracy and a perceived crackdown within his country. In fact, at a summit last week between the European Union and Turkey, there was little to agree on. Here's our Istanbul correspondent, Mark Lowen.
The President of the European Council, Donald Tusk, confirmed that the summit achieved no solutions or compromises on the sticking points. From the EU, concerns over Turkey's democratic backsliding, mass arrests, and its military offensive in Syria. From Turkey, frustration at a perceived lack of solidarity from Europe in the face of its terror threats, and what President Erdogan called the EU's excessive criticism.
So there's now what looks to be an almost permanent break on Turkey's ascension to European Union membership. And with Turkey's military operations against the US-backed Kurds in northern Syria, that's in the town of Afrin, there's now confrontation between these two NATO allies.
Right. And on Tuesday, the UN in Geneva is hosting a pledging conference for Yemen. What are they hoping to achieve?
Well, at the time the conflict in Yemen started in 2015, Yemen was already the poorest nation in the Middle East. But now, following 3 years of fighting between the Houthi rebels and government forces, which are backed by a Saudi Arabian coalition, the situation there is even more dire. The UN has called it the world's worst man-made humanitarian disaster. Almost 10,000 people have been killed. Over half of those are civilians. I'm wary of this becoming a list of statistics, Lauren, but these numbers are staggering. According to the UN, 22.2 million people, that represents 75% of the population of Yemen, are now in need of humanitarian assistance. So what is the world doing about this? Well, as you mentioned, tomorrow in Geneva, there's going to be a pledging conference that's going to be hosted by the United Nations and the governments of Sweden and Switzerland. The UN and its humanitarian partners have already launched this appeal, and it's for almost $3 billion. Additionally, in January, the Saudi-led coalition announced it's going to provide $1.5 billion in new funding for the UN and relief agencies. We should say as well, the USA is currently the largest donor to this appeal. They've pledged almost $140 million. So why does all this matter? Well, all of this matters because the conflict is exacerbating regional tensions. In terms of the threat of terrorism, Western intelligence agencies consider AQAP, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, which operates out of Yemen, the most dangerous branch of Al-Qaeda because of its technical expertise and global reach. And the emergence of so-called Islamic State affiliates in Yemen is also a serious concern.
Right. And South Africa's former president, Jacob Zuma, is expected to appear in court this Friday. Remind us, what are the charges here?
Yes, as you say, Jacob Zuma is meant to appear in court on 16 charges of corruption, and they relate to a multi-billion dollar arms deal. Now, that case centres on a $2.5 billion deal to modernise South Africa's defence in the late 1990s. And in fact, there are allegations of over 700 suspicious payments in that deal, and that dogged both Mr. Zuma's presidency and one of his predecessors, Thabo Mbeki. The charges, we should say Mr. Zuma denies, include counts of fraud, racketeering, and money laundering. And earlier today, I spoke to the BBC Africa's Nick Erickson, and he explained to me what this court appearance actually means for South Africa.
The fact that South Africa has been talking about this issue of state capture, particularly over the past 5 years or so, with Jacob Zuma being at the center of those discussions, and the fact that so soon after he stepped down from power, visually him being in a court, is highly, highly significant in terms of the direction that South Africa seems to be heading in now so quickly.
Jacob Zuma weathered an array of corruption allegations during his 9 years in power. And what we know is that if and when this trial begins, it's going to be long and it's going to be drawn out. But as Jacob Zuma is no longer president, he can't actually use state resources to support his defence. So for now, his political enemies within South Africa, particularly the opposition, they're celebrating that he's one step closer to facing a judge in court.
All right, that's the BBC's Alexander Griffiths. Alex, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you very much, Lauren.